And with that, I am sorry to say that we have come to the end of our showcase. We did Doom, right? We did Battlecry, and we did say something about that being here. My bad, I forgot.
Hey everybody, it's Boss Barrel Radio episode E3 2015 Part 1 Special Extravaganza. I'm Griffin Hoffman, and
I'm Jeff Brewer,
and we're here
taking
to talk
control
about
of my name.
Video games, own it, man.
Yeah, you're not the boss of my name anymore.
No. Names have power.
Yeah. Language has real power. Spoilers for the Metal Gear Solid trailer that you're going to watch after this.
Oh, man. Okay.
It is. I just watched it once. I need to watch it again. It is literally just gibberish.
Sweet. That's my kind of Metal Gear.
But Kiefer Sutherland does say Les Enfants Terribles. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Wonderful.
Anyway. E3.
E3. So we are currently watching day one, I guess, or day zero broadcast.
Day zero to day 0.51.
Well, we watched day negative one, which was Bethesda conference, and now we're watching. We just finished watching the Microsoft press conference. So
you know, it's weird. You go from day negative one to day one to day two, and then for the PC, you go to day nine. Where are all the other days?
It falls into the scope of the Tokyo Drift timeline.
Oh, okay. Anywho.
Let's talk about some video games.
Let's do it. Yes.
Okay.
Because we're a little bit pressed for time.
That's right. We got appointments.
Press conferenced for time.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, I don't really have an agenda. I mean, I guess we could start by just talking about what we saw at the Bethesda conference.
Sure. Yeah. Let's just dive in.
Yes.
So Bethesda, a couple of highlights. I'd say a lot of expected stuff.
Yeah. Just quick and dirty. Bethesda's conference was on Sunday night, and they showed Doom, they showed Fallout 4, and they showed Dishonored 2.
Yes.
They spent a little time on some other things like Elder Scrolls Online and Battlecry.
Battlecry and Pete Hines sitting in a fake theater chair announcing a strategy card game.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Hearth Scrolls.
Yes, Hearth Scrolls, play your house full of cheese wheels card.
Yeah. My favorite thing about that announcement was the way he was like, hey, do you like playing games on your iPad? It was so weird.
It was super weird.
But all in all, I mean, we'll get to the nitty-gritty here, but I thought it was a pretty good first showing for them.
Absolutely.
They brought it. They're like, hey, we're a big deal now.
Yeah.
Even from the beginning, like, they had their stupid little company culture video. They're like, hey, you know what? EA can do it. We can do it.
And they can do it better, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives you a sense. I thought that was a great way to open because it kind of, like, establishes, like, the scope of the company. Like, hey.
Absolutely.
You know, we're those guys who used to make Elder Scrolls games only, but now look at how big we are.
Yeah, right?
Look at all these different development arms we own. Like, Tango was in there, although I lost that bet pretty royally because they were just there waving. They're like, here's a Japanese guy. It wasn't Mikami, right? It was just a guy.
I just saw a Tango on his shirt, and I was like, yeah, neat.
But yeah, I thought that was a great way to get things started. And then they dove directly after that to Doom, which is probably good because for me, I don't know, for me, I wasn't super excited about Doom, but you tell me what you thought about Doom, because you were with the right crowd. As
I was with a group of guys that really liked Doom and the history of Doom and were really passionate about, I mean, like, the lore, I guess. I don't know. But yeah,
same way that Bonnie Ross loves the lore of Halo.
Yeah, absolutely the same. It was fun to watch. Like, it was gory, it was gruesome, it was high intensity, high fast paced action.
Yeah,
like, it kind of had the speed of like a Halo shooter with the way you're jumping around the map. Mm-hmm. There was some parkour traversal, and then you know, some very 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 mild puzzle solving.
Yes, very mild.
Yeah. But all in all, it was a really great showing of that game, you know, and then very much like there was enough things in there that stuck out to me as interesting, like no regenerating health. You're picking up health packs. Killing enemies seems to yield health things from them, ammo as well. And then
yeah, I appreciate the unrealism there. Like, oh, the enemy explodes into power-ups.
Yeah. and then it appeared the weapons had some level of secondary function, and they did show off quite a few of them in the gameplay. So I'm hoping that they follow through with that, since it seems like we know the Doom weapons, but I hope that they're able to tweak them a little bit in that vein.
Yeah, hopefully. My big problem with it, and I kind of already expressed this earlier, is that I just didn't feel the tension. Like, I would watch this guy run around the arena, and that was fine. Like, I expected that. I wanted that. But then, like, the enemies would just be utterly powerless to do anything to him.
I think that's very strongly done on purpose for the demo. Like, I think if you were playing that on regular difficulty, not on like a pre-recorded stage show, that there would have been so many instances when that character would have died.
Well, that was the big question mark for me. Like, I would watch these guys launch these ultra slow attacks that he would just easily strafe around, and I was like, is this how it's gonna be? Like, do you just run around like a freaking golden god the whole time? Or
yeah,
like,
that's kind of how the original games were.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, you're not wrong.
And then when the strategy comes in the form of when you're like in a giant pit full of hundreds of monsters and the waves just never stop coming in, and that's when I thought it was like, oh man, this is going to be too hard of a game for me.
Well, I actually agree, because I think you kind of saw shades of that when they were in hell. Mm-hmm. But for the first demo, I was just, that was where like he'd go into a corridor and there'd be like three enemies in there and he would just immediately kill them all. Like, just strafing around all their attacks. I felt like it was at its best when they were literally just in that gigantic hell arena and enemies were just coming in wave after wave.
One thing Gene mentioned that I had no idea, since I don't know Doom that well, is he's like, so classic Doom, all the old monsters and enemies had a signature noise and color to the projectile they shot at you, so you'd be able to determine what you're fighting against even before you see it, or if you're in like a big old mosh pit, you can see what's there based on what you hear and see. And he's like, I see that they're retaining that here, where the like certain monsters will have certain like animations that are classic, and then certain like projectiles that will indicate who they are in that chaos.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that they are adhering to kind of older Doom. I'm glad they didn't, like, add aim down sights or make it slow and kind of, you know, ponderous like some of the modern shooters are.
Yeah.
Something was missing for me the whole way through. Like, I guess I maybe a little more feedback for the monsters. They just seem to kind of take a bunch of hits and then fall over.
Sure.
And, like, the kills obviously were very visceral and gratifying and all that, you know, tearing off a dude's arm and beating him with it, or feeding a guy his own heart.
Yeah, right. Or just barehanded ripping somebody in half, like Fatality style. But I think, yeah, like, that is a trailer that needs to be seen to be enjoyed, I guess, or to get the full effect of it. And there was a nice little quiet moment that was very kind of intense too, I thought, with the key card moment. I like that.
The camera thing?
Yes, yeah. I thought that was really cool environmental
stuff. That was very cool. Interesting tech right there.
Yeah, but I think we should move on to talk about, what was it, Snap Map?
Yes, Snap Map, which sounds like some kind of Lunchables or something.
What'd you get? A peanut butter and jelly? Suck it, I got Snap Map.
Whoa, can you trade with me?
No way.
Nah. coming to Lunchables Uploaded, which is an actual thing.
So SnapMap is your level creation tool that's built for Doom. So it has the kind of like classic room by room ability to create a level, but then it has more advanced features where you can tweak AI and build kind of modes using the game rules. It seems like very interesting, very complicated. I forget what it reminded me of. I think you could do something like that in Infamous 2.
Really?
Yes, where you could build levels and build logic based on things.
It reminded me of Halo 3, and it's kind of robust, like Forge, essentially.
Oh, yeah, that's a better example, sure.
Yeah.
But then
it looked great,
like,
though.
It was very much user-friendly on a console level.
Yeah, I think people are going to, like, I guess some people will be suckered in by the single player and its beautiful graphics. That, to me, looks super boring. I think the multiplayer is going to be the thing that Doom is going to live or die based on, because I don't think the campaign looks like anything special. It looks aggressively mediocre. However, I think the multiplayer has real potential, and it even looks different in a way that's somehow more appealing to me. I think it's because they used fewer filters or something, but it just looks more fun on every level to me. And I know they didn't show a ton of it, but I was way more into that.
Interesting.
So I'm excited to see what they do there. I'm excited for the modding potential. It's really interesting to see Bethesda kind of amassing a stable of like moddable games. Kind of cool. I was like I said, I was pretty tepid on the campaign. Something was missing there for me, but I was liking what I saw with Snap Map. So
sure,
definitely a good move on that front. And you nailed that one.
Yeah, it was almost exactly like I thought. Where it has the Quake style arena battle speed. It's very much harkening back to like that old school deathmatch. But then they also built in the capacity to change game modes and game types depending on what people are creating in the editor. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah, and actually, it looks like they must have done this right after Doom. They tied kind of this Snap Map announcement to the announcement of BethesdaNet, which I thought was... That's probably the most troubling part of this show to me. I'm a little bit... Anytime I hear about, like, a portal for all your favorite Blizzard activities, I'm a little bit wary.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is just an excuse for them to eventually silo all their content and games within this service, another thing I have to download and install.
Well, maybe not. We can maybe touch on that later when we get to the Microsoft portion on something that they announced.
This is true, I think
otherwise.
That's true. That's actually a really good point. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what it is yet, but it definitely, I think we were talking about this before, it kind of feels like Bethesda's corporate arm. It was like, this was their show.
Yeah.
Their part of the show was BethesdaNet.
Yeah.
And then we moved on to other stuff. But yeah, that was really kind of just touched upon for like a second.
Right.
And it hints at something that I think is going to be larger. I think they're probably going to try to ape Blizzard to some degree.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much, though. We'll have to see there.
Yeah, and speaking of things they just touched on briefly, they did then go on to Battlecry, which again is some, like, it seems like in arena-based brawler
that.
It's like, honestly not really worth going into that many details on.
Looks super janky. It's like a team-based, combat. There's a gazillion of them.
Sure.
Online. There's better ones.
But what followed that up immediately was a CG trailer for Dishonored 2.
Yeah, and I think this might have been the only CG trailer, which is kind of impressive, actually, I think, that they did not lean very heavily on CG trailers. Also, something to note is that all this stuff is supposed to be coming out either this year or early 2016.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Doom, they specifically said spring 2016. Dishonored, they said absolutely no date. There is no date mentioned.
I thought they said early 2016.
No, I guess maybe if I missed it right at the beginning of the trailer, but at the end, it was not a word said about a game or a date for it.
Okay, I guess it's just spring 2016.
Huh, okay.
Says Rock, Paper, Shotgun. And that surprised me, because as you said, CG trailer, which makes me think, how are they going to get that thing out in time? But Griffin, what was your reaction to that trailer? Because I know you're not a huge Dishonored fan.
Just quickly... I was very surprised and interested in kind of the world that they're crafting. I didn't care about the Dishonored world in the first game. And then some of the design choices that they made with like how your interactions affect the game at large, I didn't care for. Mm-hmm. But at the very least, putting a girl in this world and giving them different powers that kind of have like a prototype vibe or the darkness vibe, I thought that was pretty cool. And then the fact that they announced that you'll be able to play as both her or Corvo and they'll have different abilities makes it seem like there's going to be a lot more interesting depth in this game.
Yeah. Today. I hope that she's voiced, because I think making Corvo a silent protagonist was a weird decision, to say the least.
Yeah.
I hope that they give her a little more depth. I love that robot that they showed, the weird light robot thing.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was friggin' rad.
Yeah, that was Doctor Who robot.
Yeah, it really did look like that. And I did definitely think that her version of Blink, which is that weird like grappling hook Spider-Man thing, is super awesome. So
yeah.
I'm ready to go back. Like, I my take on Dishonored, I've always loved the gameplay because I never really got the chance to do like the original Thief titles, and I feel like that kind of picks up the mantle probably better than the Thief reboot.
Agreed. Yeah, that game was blah.
Yeah, and you know, I the stealth was always clicking for me. I actually kind of enjoyed being very limited. So I was really into that, and I'm super eager to do that again, especially with a character whom I think I'll feel more connected to. So I'm pretty excited. I'm always wary of CG trailers, but I figure it's got to be at least technically on the level of the last game, which I really liked. So.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm down.
Yeah, I'm ready to give it another try.
Are you ready to give Dishonored another try for the definitive edition?
Definitely not.
I like how they were just like, yeah, it's graphically better.
Yeah, but I mean, there's also DLC that was pretty well praised that they could pack in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, people liked those. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a game. It's
yeah, sure. Why not? And then speaking of it's a game, they did some Elder Scrolls Online talk and
their little video in absentia. They're like, yeah, we can't be here because we don't really have anything to show you. But yeah,
there's a lot of empty environments with the camera panning. Yeah. It's an MMO, isn't it?
It was so metaphorical. They didn't even show player characters in there. They're just like, look, it's one mob.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of aping Blizzard design, they announced the Elder Scrolls Legacy strategy training
Legends.
Card game?
Elder Scrolls Legend.
Okay.
Which now apparently there is a new genre of games called strategy card games.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one that I alluded to earlier with Beat Hines being like, hey, y'all, you like iPad games?
Yeah. And I was joking. Well, I was joking to my friends that, you know, there's at least with World of Warcraft, you have like iconic characters and iconic classes and stuff like that you can associate with Blizzard. You know, even if you don't know World of Warcraft, you're still like, oh, that's a big orc man or that's a funny gnome guy or that's Leroy Jenkins, like that meme.
Yeah.
But I'm like thinking about it, and I'm like, Elder Scrolls doesn't really have that unless they steer into the jank.
Well, they have like iconic races, I think, like a Khajiit, I think, is relatively iconic. But I think that the stuff that they were showing was like a merwoman, and I'm like, there's no merwomen in Elder Scrolls. What the hell is this thing?
Yeah, exactly. Trying to make it all heroic and stuff like that when you're, I mean, that's not what...
No, it's not a world of heroes.
No, I mean, it is. It's a world of one hero, you.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody else sucks in that game. But what they need to do is they need to steer into the BS side of Elder Scrolls. So it's like you get like Lydia, and her only ability is to just store more items for you or something. Or you play your house full of cheese wheels, and it just like erupts cheese wheels onto somebody.
But they're not going to do that. You could tell from the concept art that this is like serious business.
I know. But I'm
in
saying,
the worst way.
If that's the route that they took, that could be like when they make a Macho Man Randy Savage dragon card. That is how you win the hearts and minds of people.
Thomas the Tank Dragon.
Yeah.
Do you think this is why they sued Notch? Is what I'm wondering.
Sure.
For the Scrolls card game. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the internet is a Twitter about that. But.
Yeah, get that name back.
Honestly, given this thing's position, they probably started developing it like a week after Hearthstone blew up. So I don't think it actually lines up.
Yeah.
Because it seriously is an unabashed Hearthstone clone. A lot of like allusions to Blizzard and their portfolio. Even Todd Howard, who we'll touch on here, was like, Blizzard was closer to the porn booths than we were back in the day. Like they were really talking about Blizzard, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Well, let's move on to the meat and potatoes here of this event.
Yes.
And that would be... Pete Hines awkwardly cock-teasing the Fallout 4 game.
Yes. And then Todd Howard coming out and being like, I got this, don't worry about it.
I just want to know what they said to each other when they shook hands.
Pete Hines was like, I'm so jealous of you.
I don't know. Oh, I also forgot. Okay, so the other moment that I found was hilarious was during the Doom thing, the guy that was up on stage... almost like he stutter stepped, you could see it because he almost dropped an f-bomb and he just said like f it instead, and he you could watch him trip as he was about to go into it and he didn't. Then we get
Todd Howard
up on stage who just drops it like it ain't no thing,
just nonchalantly. He's like, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, right. You're like, okay. Oh, this man needs business.
This is an adult show now. Fallout 4, the big reveal that already happened, but information blowout to say the least. Let's kind of just touch on the big changes here, because we're actually getting awfully close to the EA event. I don't think we'll have time for Microsoft.
No, this will be fine. We'll do this one by one.
Oh, just go through the whole list here?
No, I mean, this will be Bethesda only. And you'll have to tune in next for the Microsoft section.
Yes, most definitely. So let me say what I thought were the big deals. Mm-hmm. I thought the fully voiced protagonist was probably the biggest change to the way this game is going to feel compared to every other game.
Yeah.
And with that comes definitely the modifications to dialogue. It feels completely different just from the get-go. And I'm very interested to see how that ends up playing out. It was weird, too, because to kind of jump down a little bit, they showed conversations, and they looked immediately like Mass Effect conversations, where you go into the conversation, the camera, like, resets and puts you in that, like, third-person view. But then Todd Howard was like, yeah, you can do those in first person. You can walk away from them. So I'm really curious to see how they manage that. And like with the trademark, you know, Bethesda bugs thrown in there too.
Yeah.
But like I'm quite, because I feel like they're steering towards kind of Mass Effect style of conversation progression, where you're in a conversation for a while, you make choices throughout the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But then like, how do you integrate that with just walking away? That's where I'm very confused. There's a lot that we don't know about that, but that's my biggest. That's like the biggest thing for me, where I'm like, I don't know what this is going to do to this game. Everything else, I think, feels like logical progressions and kind of like they might be surprising, but they're all kind of keeping within what you know and what you expect.
Yeah.
But this was the big megaton for me, I think.
Uh huh.
Was there any like other big megaton that stuck out for you?
Besides the release date. I think that's the biggest megaton. I think that is the biggest drop there is as you just so narrowly called it at the end of the press conference. They showed
almost got an extra point. I'm going to need those.
Yeah, that 101 vault 101 or 111 111 on stage logo, and then you are like, oh shit, it's going to be November. Was it? You say November 1st.
11-1. I thought it'd be 11-1.
Yeah, I read that aloud to the guys I was in the room with, and everyone was like, oh my god, that's so perfect. And then they blow the date out, and they put it to 11-10.
9 days, Todd Howard, you motherfucker.
Yeah, but most importantly, 2015.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was the big rumor, and they sure delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so awesome. I love that we can still be in a world where, you know, and given how long the development time is on modern games, I love that we can still have a huge game like that that is literally announced and released within the space of 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes me feel like anything can happen again. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, that's for me, that's like the gauntlet being thrown down to everyone else. Like, check it out, guys. This is this game we've been keeping under wraps for years. It's coming out this fall.
Yeah, they really, you were mentioning like channeling like the Steve Jobs persona that Todd Howard was doing on stage, and this press conference definitely felt like that, where it was,
oh yeah,
you know, they have the stable of good games where they're showing off Doom and serving that audience, and they're paying homage to the games that are already in existence, you know, trotting out something a little different with Battlecry, mm-hmm. and then showing off a trailer for Dishonored. And then they're doing the "this is out right now," which is their Fallout Shelter sim tower type game.
And we can touch on that. That's just it's a mobile app that just in the middle of their Fallout presentation, they're like, by the way, we just made this mobile app for the hell of it. Also, it's free. Also, it doesn't have any bullshit stamina systems.
Yep.
Also, it's kind of good.
It's kind of good. And more important, the best part about it was Todd Howard name dropping Progress Quest.
Yes,
relating it to how the sending your characters out into the wasteland goes,
and FTL, which you could say like, oh, you know, whatever, but like that's not a huge game,
right?
Really not. For him to mention that as an influence is really cool. I'm sure the FTL devs were thrilled.
Progress Quest is a much deeper cut.
Yeah, it'll just from what I played, it feels more Progress Quest than FTL anyway. But yeah, no, you're probably right that it's.
The only problem with it being Progress Quest, though, is I've had three of my characters die because I sent them out into the wasteland and forgot about them. And unlike Progress Quest, it does end.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
There were tons of little tidbits that were peppered through this presentation. Some really awesome stuff, too.
Yeah.
let's see, what did they have here? I thought the companion overhaul looks pretty sweet.
Loot that house, dog.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a little bit, I'm sure the depth isn't great, but it's a much better way of handling companions, I think, than what they were previously doing with the wheel and all that.
Yeah.
It's a great streamlining, I think. And hopefully we'll see more companions in the dog. This presentation made it look like that's all you get, but then the Microsoft presentation, which we'll get to later, he said companions. So I'm wondering if maybe we're going to see multiple companions. I hope so.
You would have to. I mean, it's a trademark of the Fallout series is multiple companions.
Yeah, and I also liked how he was pooping on the dog later. He was like, because they talked about build mode, which is something else we'll touch on in a couple minutes here. And they were like, yeah, I guess you can make a house for your dog, whatever. So I don't think they're going to go the route of like tugging at the heartstrings with your dog.
Right.
Even though the promotional material seems to be doing that. But yeah, the companion stuff is really cool. I'm excited to see that overhauled. The Pip-Boy is getting some real cool stuff, like little games you can play on your Pip-Boy.
Mm-hmm. Micro games.
Which I'm assuming just means Wii U port, right?
Yeah.
Just put the Pip-Boy on that gamepad. I mean, honestly, if only for the fact that the Wii U is not powerful enough to run this game, it would be a kind of a perfect platform. Because it's practically on your wrist. It's right there.
Yeah,
just look down in it.
Pip-Boy.
Nah. All right. Nah. Fine. Nah. But let me tell you what's weird about the Pip-Boy. It's a menu that takes up like less than half of your screen. You can't like be moving around while you're using the Pip-Boy. It's strange to me.
It'll be like the Bond Watch, which is great.
Yeah, but the Bond Watch takes up the whole screen.
I'm sure you can toggle it. If you're that upset, I think that you'll have the capacity to toggle between like interactive wrist view or full screen. But
I like
you can just get around that by doing it on your second screen device.
This is true, yes. Or on your Pip-Boy collectible that you buy with the game.
No, you still need a second screen for that. It does not come with
yes,
an iPhone.
Yes, you do. Well, your Pip-Boy collectible that you've put your iPhone into if you're a crazy person.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, so the collector's edition has your cosplay-friendly Pip-Boy that you can snap your iPhone or touch phone into and then run the second screen experience, which looks like just a menu.
Just a menu, yeah, which is probably the best second screen experience you could hope for.
Sure, and Todd Howard did emphasize the care that they took to make the menu more interesting since you spend so much time in it. I think that's a nice little nod since it's not just the static screen like they did before.
Yeah, I like how you like kind of shake it around and you like see your character physically manipulating it. It definitely helps to kind of immerse you in the world. And I'm of two minds about the menu not taking up the whole screen, but it definitely helps with that kind of piece of like, oh, this is a thing that's on my arm. That's kind of cool.
So the other big feature that they showed was the crafting.
Yes. Yes. Big deal. And I think there was definitely crafting in the previous title in terms of building mods for your weapons, but they have blown the lid off this thing and added this whole new build mode thing that feels very Minecraft inspired. Essentially, and Griffin, correct me if I'm wrong on some of this stuff, you can like go and find elements in the environment, like gigantic elements like walls, and then just break them down, put them in your inventory and go to a special build site and then just build them up.
Yeah.
And this goes beyond just like walls and objects. You can like wire electricity and put in terminals
and
then it's like tower defense because raiders will come attack you and you can like wire terminals or turrets to kill them. It looks pretty cool.
It looks surprisingly robust, which is, you know,
yes,
something that
it looks unapproachable.
Yeah, kind of.
But I'm sure Minecrafters will go nuts for it.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's great. The thing that appealed to me was like the in-game benefits where they say like if you build your establishment and you are planting things and making it like a livable, sustainable area, you'll attract vendors and then they will give you access to some of the more superpowered weapons in the game. So I'm like, okay, now I have a reason to actually care about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. And it's to me, it's just like, how do they put all this shit on this game? I don't understand it. How is this thing is going to hit the 50 gigabyte cap and like, is there going to be like another like 10 gigabytes you just download as a patch or something? Like this game is going to be huge. Uh-huh. I mean, to be fair, the textures, I guess, are not super high res. People are complaining about that. So maybe that's how they keep the game small. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like there's going to be a ton of stuff going on there with that build mode. I don't know what the memory cost is, but it looked really cool.
Yeah.
Just some other, should we touch on the Xbox announcement or get to that later?
No, I think we get to it later, but I think, you know, what appeals to me is the crafting system for the weapons where now, you know, you can, instead of just like, I don't even remember how you could craft. I know you could repair items before and you could build items
could build
based
mods
on scrap
on a work table.
But you could make, like, new weapons, too, where it's like the junk gun.
Yeah.
Shoot your teddy bears at somebody. But this was, like, you can take a base model of a gun and replace any of the parts on it with souped-up parts using all the in-game world stuff. So it's like when you find those junk items where it's like, I got a toy rocket and a magazine and a piece of tape. Now you can actually combine that into a crafting thing to make, like, a better stock for your gun.
Well, it used to be that, like, you had to find the specific item, like surgical tubing, to build your mod. But now it sounds like every item has something that it breaks down into. Now, like, the random baseball has a use beyond just that one recipe.
Sure.
That you did, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I think they showed, like, a scope, and they're like, here's three different ways you could build the scope based on the things in your inventory.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to have OCD have a reason for happening.
Yeah.
Because those worlds are full of useless objects, so why not give me a use for them?
Exactly.
The other thing that I wanted to mention, because we're running out of time here. Three more little things, or big things, actually. Okay. Number one and two. Power armor.
Yeah.
That seems like it's going to be a big part of this game.
Customizable power armor.
Customizable power armor, but also power armor that when you get into it, it's kind of like a Titan from the looks of things. Because they showed some of it in the Microsoft event, which we'll get to.
It looks like you don't want to be walking around in power armor 24/7.
No, but when you get into it, you have a gigantic minigun and, like, a sweet different UI and, like, a crazy little visor view. It looks like a kind of distinct experience. Mm-hmm. And they've also alluded to the fact in the kind of end of the event trailer that you have access to a jetpack when you're on that thing, which is awesome.
Yep.
So I'm pretty excited to have, you know, classic Bethesda jank as I try to fly around in a jetpack and glitch into buildings and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be good. People get breaking the game by trying to fly into areas they shouldn't.
Yeah, and speaking of flying into areas you shouldn't, the other big thing that was not mentioned by Todd Howard at all, but clearly is in the game in some capacity, is you're going to get a helicopter in this game that you can fly. Yep. I looked at the trailer, it's just you in there. You have the ability to, like, jump off your helicopter at any point, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You can land it. I think it's going to be like their horse, essentially, except it's a friggin' helicopter.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. Because, you know, the big joke in Fallout was like, oh, there's all these broken down vehicles everywhere. Why can't you drive any of them?
Right. Nobody owns a bicycle. Right.
Yeah. So now you get your horse, but your horse is a friggin' helicopter. And that's super cool.
Yeah.
I think that's what's so exciting about this game. It's like they showed a ton, and they showed a lot of really interesting features.
The
like
other thing that they did show quite a bit of was the character creation and the character face work, which actually looks pretty good.
Yes, it does.
Character creation seems pretty simplistic. And then they confirmed that it does start pre-war, and then ends up being like 200 later or years later from when you went into the vault. And you were a sole survivor.
I was really excited at first in that initial part when they were talking about how they recorded like 1,000 names.
Mm-hmm.
But I think only your robot will call you by your name.
Probably, yeah.
That was what it sounded like.
Yep. All right, anything else you want to get out of the way here for the Bethesda conference?
I don't think so. I think that pretty much covers the major things. Oh, the other thing I was just going to say, I think what excites me so much about this game is they showed a lot, but they teased so much more in this trailer. So... And again, it's what a way to start off E3.
Right.
It
also
really
helps when you have a game that's coming out shortly and you can show real gameplay of it. It makes everything much more interesting.
For sure. For sure. No, not a single CGI trailer for this game. Uh-uh. That is a milestone. Seriously, it is a milestone. But I think that pretty much covers it for me. But anywho, I think it's about time for another press conference.
Yeah, so let's wrap this one up, and we'll get to tune into the next episode, and we'll do Microsoft.
Okay. All right, dude. All right. Let's keep on watching.
All right.
Bye.
If I let you go back the way that I thought I might go today, and I, oh, if I let you inside my mind.